D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you, continuing our reaction to the Titans preseason opener. And to help us do that, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow. Hello, Chad. How are you?
Doing well, guys.
So, Chad, I'm going to unveil the Chicken Little meter here, okay? On a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being a beautiful, cloudless day, not a care in the world, and 5 being, oh my God, the sky is falling. Where are you on Cam Ward after his performance yesterday?
3.5. It was not good. He looked like rookie Cam Ward. He looked like a guy who struggles to process information quickly and who makes dumb decisions. I mean, there was one play, the play to Ridley, where they got the first down pickup, I think, on 3rd and 7 or something, looked good. The tight end screen to Gunnar Helm, well-designed play, well-executed on 3rd down, looked good, looked like it was on time and everything was okay. And then there's just these moments. I mean, the little swing pass or the screen pass, the outside that was 7 feet too high and about 40 miles per hour too fast. Guys, there's cause for concern. I can't sugarcoat it. I want to see more. I know it's not even one full half of one preseason game, but I expected to see much better, much more competence with the offense, way better rhythm and timing, decision-making, all of that. And it felt like from the first snap, he took off too quickly when he felt a little bit of pressure. And then we've been hearing about this weight loss in the offseason to get quicker. Did he look quick on that scramble?
No.
I mean, he got caught by a defensive lineman. I mean, D-Mace.
No, he didn't look cool. We talked about it. He was running like a baby. He was running like a baby. That's what he was running like.
It was weird. I mean, I was just like, what is going on here? That was not any way to run the football. I was very underwhelmed in preseason game one.
Chad, of course, a lot of the reaction to the game so far has skewed negative because of Cam Ward's performance. But let's look at the other side of life, the optimistic side of life. Is there something you saw in the game last night that you liked?
Joey Sly's got a howitzer for a right leg. He looked good at kicker. I thought Femi Oladejo popped. And he looked like he could be a presence defensively. I think that was a positive. I thought Tajay Spears looked good in his limited time in the game also. I mean, yeah, there were a couple of bright spots for sure of what we saw from some other guys. But I mean, it's not going to matter for the trajectory of this franchise unless Cam Ward is improved and he can show that he is the franchise quarterback. Because if not, we're right back to square one a year from now where the Titans are drafting high and trying to get another franchise quarterback. And that's just not the spot you want to be in. And I don't want to start that talk right now. And because we got plenty of time to see a better Cam Ward, but he's 0-for-1. I mean, he's a big 0-for-1 in his rookie year. That was not good enough. And we could point to all the excuses and there are plenty of valid excuses, but he wasn't good enough either. And he certainly was not good enough last night.
Yeah, he's going to have to get better, Chad. And that's one thing that, you know, in watching this game and going back and watching it, it wasn't as bad as I first thought it was. But there is things that he needs to improve at as he continues to learn his offense. I think all these guys do, but it all lands on him because he's the starting quarterback. What do you think of the offensive line? I thought, and I told Willie this, I said, Peter Skoronski, he's going to be an all-pro. This guy keeps getting better and better. I thought JC played well. I thought Kimona played well at the right guard. But what do you think of the offense as a whole? I mean, offensive line.
They could be a bright spot. And I should have brought up Fernando Carmona as a bright spot. That was great to see a rookie that's a later draft pick be a starter and look the part, right? I mean, he looked like he fit right in with the offensive line with some veteran guys. So I thought that was a good sign for the Titans. It just, when you combine, the offensive line wasn't bad and Cam Ward wasn't good. That looks even worse on Cam Ward. But no, I do think that the running game, you know, and Tony Pollard's just a solid guy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, he's not great, but he's a good player and he's going to be a solid back for you. If Spears can show some of that explosiveness that he showed last night, I mean, yeah, I think the offensive line and the run game could be a nice surprise to the Titans this year based on what we saw last night.
And what did you think of the tight ends last night? I thought Gunnerham showed well. There were some passes Cam could have got to him, at least one. But I think all in all, needs to get better as a blocker. That's just, it has to happen. Well, what do you think of them in yesterday's contest?
I think Gunnar Helm's going to be really good. And I think for the Titans offense to click, they need him to be really good. They need Cornell Tate to be really good. There's a trifecta there. Tim, Cornell Tate, Cam Ward, right? To me, that would be your playmaking, different levels of playmaking between Cornell Tate and Gunnar Helm. But Helm could be that reliable target that every quarterback needs. He could be that for Cam Ward. If Cam Ward can progress, that's going to be a big thing for this team. And then Cornell Tate, who I think was targeted twice last night but didn't have a reception, if he can be the fourth overall pick good for this team, then you got something for the future. But, yeah, I was impressed with Gunnar Helm. Mm-hmm. I've liked him throughout. I liked him at Texas. I think that could be another bright spot for this team. But none of it matters if Cam Ward doesn't take the next step. Mm-hmm. And we just need to start seeing that next step from Cam Ward. And I saw more of the same last night, which was concerning.
Now, what I thought was, maybe it's not odd because it's only preseason, but Debo in the press box. I'm not sure. I would rather him be on the field considering this is a new offense and you can be there with your players. Maybe it's just preseason and during the season he'd be on the sideline. But what did you think about that? I don't know if many people made, you know, even noticed it. But when they showed him on television in a press box, I'm like, maybe should he be on the sideline, or maybe I'm just making a thing of it?
I think it is so important for how guys operate. And I think that, you know, the really good guys, like, they have one preference over the other. Mm-hmm. If you're going back and forth a lot, that shows that you're a little bit unsure of how you want to handle it. But when you look at the best coordinators, they usually have a way they prefer to do it, and they're going to stick with that way, whether it be up in the box or whether it be down in the field. I don't know what's best for his players. Maybe he does need to look Cam Ward in the eye, you know, during the game and help him out more, and being on the field would be better. But I will say, like, especially that 95-yard drive, and I know the Titans had some good opening drives throughout last season too, but we saw some of that Brian Daboll effect, right, the tight end screen. I mentioned it. There's another third down pickup, and I'm thinking that's the Daboll effect, the precision short passing game that can open it up. We saw some of that last night from him, which I think was a good sign. Again, coaching-wise, I look at their operations and I look at how they're doing it. They got a really good staff. Mm-hmm. I think the staff is good. I think both coordinators are good, and Saleh, you know, running the defense, that's going to be good. But when you pair Saleh and Daboll together, they should be well coached. They should be prepared. Now it's about those players taking the next step.
We're talking to Chad Withrow, and Chad was over at Vanderbilt practice yesterday. And so I got a couple college questions for you, Chad, as we continue to count down towards the college season here. First off, any thoughts of what you saw from Vanderbilt? Because the perception seems to be, we discussed this earlier this week, some of the previews are coming out, and I think there's still a lot of questions. There's still a lot of people around college football, and I'm talking about people that really follow the sport on a deep level, that still are not convinced that the program is to a point where they can overcome the loss of a Diego Pavia and an Eli Stowers and still have a good season by their standards. That seems to be the central question for this season. Tell me what you're seeing.
I think, so first off, great seeing you guys yesterday at practice. Second, talking to Clark Lee and talking to Barton Simmons, and had a chance to talk to Martell Height and Cade McConnell post-practice yesterday on our show. Willie, they have a chip on their shoulder about all of this. I mean, keep feeding the monster with that. Keep talking about that. Anyone who's talking about they're going to take a huge step back, they don't believe it. They don't buy it for a second. Clark Lee said this is the most talented team we've ever fielded, the best team they've had. And top to bottom, it is the most talent they've had. Now they don't have Diego Pavia, and they lost some big contributors from that team a year ago. I think the secondary has a chance to be elite at Vanderbilt. And when you just walk on that practice field, there's a different level of athlete across the board. Now, I could say that about a lot of the SEC, and their schedule is a gauntlet. It's not going to be easy in the SEC, but I do think the talent level has been upgraded to the point that I don't expect them to take a giant step back. Are they winning 10 games? I don't think so, right? Are they going 6-6? I think that's a decent year for them this year, but they're not thinking that way. If I said that to Clark Lee, he would look at me like I slapped him in the face. They want to go bigger and better. I mean, they were not – I was trying to get them to talk up going to Neyland and dominating Tennessee the way they did in the second half, or beating Alabama 2 years ago. And to a man, Willie, they said, yeah, it wasn't good enough last year. Our goal is to win the SEC and win a national title. So everything we did last year was not good enough. They said beating Tennessee, not good enough, because they still see way too much orange in Dick's Sporting Goods when they go in, and they want to erase that in the mid-state. I was impressed with the level of anger and commitment from the Vandy players. I mean, I left that stadium yesterday thinking, boy, this team feels like they're slighted, and they might be quite a bit better than people think.
All right, let's go over to Tennessee. I saw an article today, Chad, that caught my attention. It wasn't a preseason rankings, but a guy named Bill Connolly from ESPN had preseason power rankings. And what he does, and he talks about how coaches are like, why would you look at anything that happened last year with this day and age of how much the rosters turn over? It's a fair argument, but this guy sticks to his guns and says, you can predict what you can make a reasonable prediction of what a team is going to look like by taking the returning production, taking a look at some recruiting things and the transfers, and assigning a rating to that. And so for better or worse, he's got these things. And it jumped out at me. Tennessee is 14th in his power ranking, which is higher than Ole Miss. It's higher than Missouri, Florida. It's a pretty good ranking. And it speaks a lot to what they've got around the big question mark, just like Vanderbilt, and that's the quarterback position. Do you feel pretty good about that roster evaluation of what they've got other than the quarterback?
Yeah. First off, I love Bill Connolly and all of his stuff. And, yeah, I feel great about Tennessee's roster, kind of like Vandy. I mean, I think you could make the argument this is going to be far and away the most talented roster top to bottom that Josh Heupel's ever had in Knoxville. I think Clark Lee believes that about this Vanderbilt team as well. And both programs have had some recent success. It's all about the quarterback at Tennessee. It's all about also not losing any more secondary starters. I mean, keep in mind, guys, a year ago, Jermaine McCoy didn't play a snap. Ricky Gibson went down on the second series of the season against Syracuse. And Tennessee was quickly down there starting two corners. And that led to them having the 96th ranked defense in America after being top 10 the year before. Today it looks like, fingers crossed, but it looks like Idris Farouk, the starting safety, could be done for the year. An ambulance came, lower leg injury, took him to hospital at practice. They're already down a depth piece, that transfer from Miami at corner. They lost a linebacker for the season earlier this week in practice. So you don't want to see any more of that depth, or especially a starter, going down for Tennessee before the season even gets here. But I think defensively, they should be really improved. Jim Knowles is an upgrade at defensive coordinator. I think that impact is going to be felt. And offensively, I mean, they get back, I think, four of their five starting offensive linemen. David Sanders is going to be an absolute beast. He's a top 10 pick in the making at tackle, and he's going to start at left tackle this year for Tennessee. They should be able to run the ball. Deshaun Bishop showed he could do that a year ago. He's in line for a big season. If they can figure out that third wide receiver between Redarius Jackson, Travis Smith, and T.K. Keys, the five-star freshman, because they got Braylon Staley, who had a big year, Mike Matthews, another five-star guy at receiver, they're gonna have some pieces offensively. Ethan Davis is a threat in the passing game at tight end. They should be good on offense if they make the right choice in figuring out the guy who's best to run the offense. And for all offseason, it was all about Faison Brandon. Faison Brandon this, he's going to win the job. He's got more talent. But now if you're reading the practice reports, it's all about George McIntyre and how good the former Brentwood Academy player has been looking for Tennessee. So Josh Heupel's got a tough decision to make, but I do think that roster is going to be really talented.
All right, Chad, quick answer on this. The SEC shows up really well in these rankings, and Adam and Derek are going to roll their eyes when I say this. But with the ninth conference game and the 10th game having to be against the Power Four, for Tennessee it's Georgia Tech, for Vanderbilt it's NC State. They're playing a violin. I get it. And, hey, look, the top of the Big Ten shows up really, really well. The top of the Big Ten. Let me emphasize. But do we need to recalibrate a little bit about how we perceive a season? Let's just take Tennessee. If Tennessee goes 7-5, which with a really difficult schedule, losing a couple of tough games, with basically a freshman quarterback or a close to freshman, right, a redshirt, how do we look upon that? Do we need to relook at that? And do you think fans will adjust to the fact that this is a very deep league with not a lot of difference between the very top and the very bottom?
You know, I think from just first off, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose oftentimes. Right. So I think every AD or fan base needs to evaluate when they look at a season. All right, well, you lost these games, but how did you lose them? Were you competitive? Were you playing stupid? Did you play down your competition? What did the team look like? I think Tennessee, as a specific example, how good does a freshman quarterback look? If they go 7-5, but you know, let's say Faison Brandon starts and looks like he's going to be a first-team All-SEC player at some point, then you feel better about the trajectory in the future. I'll also say this, even with that added power four game and all that, if Tennessee goes 7-5, Josh Heupel's on the hot seat next year. That's just the way it goes. That's the way it goes at Tennessee. That's the way it goes in this conference. Those are the expectations. Now, if you're asking me personally, yeah, I think it probably does shift expectations where there might be an added loss on your schedule if you're going to play good competition, especially on the road. But does it change the attitude of the fan base? No. Does it change the attitude of Danny White, who's sitting there saying, hey, we're one of eight programs spending $40-plus million on a roster. Go win me a championship, coach. I don't think it does. I think the excuses go out the window. And, you know, Danny White's going to look around and say, we're giving you every piece and chance to be a championship program. You've got to show that you're building towards that at least. Are they going to contend for the SEC title this year? I don't think so. Do they need to show that, you know, maybe they're a year away from being a top two or three team in the league and a surefire playoff team? Yeah, I think that's the expectation. That's what Tennessee needs to show this year.
Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday. Chad, as always, a pleasure. Have a great weekend. We'll do this again next week.
Yeah, always so much fun, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
You as well. 615-737-1025. Yes, Willie.
I need to get Chad on board with Connor and I as the SEC snobs for backup. We have an advantage.
No, Willie.
You sound like a mosquito, D-Mace.
No, that's what it sounds
like. It's that really mini violin.
Yeah, the little small one. You know, I'm using a toothpick to play it.
The dogs in the alleyway right now are going, whoa, what is going on?
Using one of Michael Jackson's fingernails.
Exactly.
Coming up next, a very important question. Who flashed Willie? We'll explain. Who flashed Willie? Coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, grooving over there. And Adam Vingan here with you.
You're just another part of me.
It's Poit, apparently.
Who?
So, we've been talking a lot about Cam Ward, and we will continue to talk about Cam Ward. We'll get to some more of your thoughts on Cam Ward, 615-737-1025. But we also want to talk about other aspects of the Titans' preseason opener last night in San Francisco. And yesterday, unintentionally, Willie Donick had a request.
Yes.
For the young Titans players specifically. And that request was, flash me.
Flash your talent. Show me what you got. But it came out wrong. It came out all wrong.
But it was a great idea.
Show me. Flash me.
Show me. Flash me.
That's a very out of context. out of context statement.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to hear it one more time.
Let's hear it one time.
Show me. Flash me.
Show me. Show me. Flash me.
It was an impassioned plea to the youngsters on the Titans
so,
to get to the next level.
Maybe don't say youngsters and flash in the same sentence.
Yes, that came out wrong too.
Oh, my goodness.
So, well, first of all, the question changes depending on the punctuation. For example, if you put a comma after flashed, it's who flashed? Willie? If you don't have a comma, it's who flashed Willie? So you can decide whether to put the comma in there or not. But Willie, who flashed you last night in the Titans game against the 49ers?
You know, it wasn't necessarily the people. I was specifically during that impassioned speech yesterday looking at guys like Keldrick Falk, who at least played a lot, right? I liked how he got in there, and he did okay. Anthony Hill, who I think is a very important player in the big picture, and Femi Oladejo, who had the nice tackle for loss early in the game. I guess you can say that was a flash, but he wasn't blocked, right? The guy came right at him, and he made the play. Good. I don't know if he – like, I just wanted to see some people physically dominant. So I think the answer to me, number one, and these aren't flashy positions necessarily, but I think J.C. Latham played a really good game, and there were grades to back that up as well. But J.C. Latham, I think, played a really good game. One of the things that both he and his teammates did, they didn't have any dumb penalties last night. You didn't have this feeling that you had a lot during the regular season, the last couple of years, of they're so discombobulated. They don't have much talent, but they can't get out of their own way sometimes with some of the needless penalties. I thought that was at least a good sign, and Robert Saleh was able to at least throw that out there, that operationally they didn't have too many men on the field, they didn't have a bunch of false starts, people weren't jumping off sides, and so I think that was a good showing for Latham. So I'll start there. Latham flashed me.
He flashed it. Come on.
I did think the offensive line, and again, we have to include the caveat that the San Francisco 49ers were not playing their best defenders last night. But I thought J.C. Latham had a solid game. Fernando Carmona, I thought, stood out. And as Chad said, to have a rookie, a late-round rookie, hold his own on the first-team offensive line. Again, the caveat, the Niners were playing backups. But it was an encouraging sign. So I would say that Fernando Carmona flashed me. But it's funnier when we say, who flashed Willie?
There you go. That's who flashed Willie.
You got to like Queen throwing in there.
Yes.
But so there's a guy named Cole Brown, who's an analyst that I'm following on Twitter now. Latham had 12 pass sets and zero pressures allowed, obviously zero sacks. Runs to his side, went for 4.5 yards a carry with 2.5 yards before contact. So that's a situation where he should grade well. This was a, quote, easy test, right? Your 49ers weren't playing any of the guys that we have heard of. So they should grade well, but he did. So that's good. Here's some stuff on Falk. A guy that, again, is they traded up to get him in the first round. They need him to be good, and it doesn't have to be today, but eventually they need him to be a guy that moves the needle some. They don't have enough needle movers on this team. It's not even close. That's why I'm looking for the flash. Flash me. Keldrick Falk, according to Cole Brown, flashed a lot of upside. It's interesting. I didn't tell him to use that word. He used the word in Twitter. He flashed a lot of upside. 29 snaps, 21 pass rushes. It shows you the 49ers were having some success throwing the ball last night. 21 pass rushes, 3 pressures, 1 QB hit, second most pressures on the team. So that's not nothing. But that's a game that I wanted to see that from him. He's going up against players that he should do well against, even though he's very, very young. He's only 21. Oladejo, he's coming off an injury, so he probably is still playing catch-up. But that's what I want to see from those guys, not only last night, but also for these next couple of games too. These are the games where a defensive lineman, you don't have to know everything about the scheme. It's going to be a lot of, can you beat your guy? Just show me you could. That's football, whether it's preseason or regular season. One-on-one, you're lined up against a tackle, win the battle. I want to see you jump out on the tape. That's what I'm saying when I say flash.
Well, I think the guys that you said flash really did. JC, for one, no pressures. He had good base in blocking. He looks stronger. He's moving better, I'm sure, you know, the hip thing last year, but he's moving better. And you can sort of see, you know, him moving in a direction that is positive. Peter Skoronski just keeps getting better. I thought Carmona showed some good plays, a lot of them. I thought he and Latham worked well on combo blocks. I thought Moore and Skoronski worked well, but there was one time where I don't know if they caught switch or whatnot, but Skoronski stayed on his guy. It was almost like they were running a game on the outside or a loop with the end in the defensive tackle. And, you know, Peter held on to his guy, and they end up getting a loop, and they just didn't handle that well. But outside of that, I thought the offensive line as a whole flashed. Defensively, I think Keldrick Falk, he got fooled one good time. And they're going to talk about that in film room, I'm sure. But I think he showed some plays. Oladejo, he showed some plays. I thought Cedric Gray played really well. He's coming downhill. He's around football. He's fast at the sideline to sideline. So he really showed well in that game. Now, listen, they didn't have John Franklin Myers out there. So, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, I'm not worried about Jeff. But those young guys, or, you know, those guys that are just new in this defense, I think they, for the most part, with the exception of the corners, and again, with the corners, just we need to talk about that.
Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah,
oh,
but the interior guys, I think, for the most part, I think those guys showed well. I'm talking about the first group of guys. They showed well.
We want to see some disruption.
Exactly. I would have liked to see more pressure from the two interior, but okay. I mean, it didn't happen. But I thought those young guys that you mentioned, I thought they flashed. I thought Gray flashed, too. That guy, he's going to be a good player. He's already shown that he's a good player. But, man, he's going to get paid if he stays healthy.
Should we take a moment to discuss Will Levis?
He went the wrong way.
Oh, my goodness.
Indeed.
Whatever we want to define as flash, he was the opposite. He was
dark.
Going the wrong direction.
Now, to
flash
be fair.
In the wrong way.
Hold on. Time out. It's loaded language to talk about flashing in Will Levis. It just occurred to me. But that's a loaded phrase when it comes to Will Levis. You know what I'm talking about.
His mom liked that comment. Just going to TMZ with it right now.
Oh, boy.
I forgot about that. I don't know anything about that, but I've heard
that. That was a story last season, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it was a story last season.
Was very
Yes, mom.
She went public.
Mom kind of let it out there. She's just kind of talking.
Back on track. Will Levis.
But Will last night in San Francisco on TV.
Yeah, not great, Bob. Not great. And I know he was out there with scrubs. I'm sorry. But you know what? At this point, Will Levis is also kind of a scrub. He's now a scrub. He wasn't a scrub, but now he's a scrub.
I'm not going that far to say he's a scrub.
He's a little scrubby.
I'm a hold out. I'm a hold off a little longer.
Pretty sure he's a little scrubby, though.
He may just be a sponge, but he ain't scrub. He ain't a scrubby yet, man. He ain't that.
We're not talking about a scrub daddy here. Remember scrub daddy?
Okay.
That's his new nickname.
No.
Will Levis is now scrub daddy.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow y'all to do that to Will Levis, okay? I'm not having it.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we saw. Because here's what I think the issue is for Levis. It is
AKA scrub daddy.
He mentally just has that gap. There is just a disconnect. And I think he's aware of it. He continues to have the same thing happen over and over, in which he can have one or two plays that really look good, where he delivers that ball and you're like, man, that looked good. That looked like an NFL quarterback. But the disconnect is still apparent. And I think he almost, with some of the bravado, like, for example, the one media scrum where he went out and said, I'm one of the best 32, it's almost like he's trying to convince himself that he doesn't have this blind spot. He tries to talk himself into, by telling everybody else how good he is, this, that he's like almost trying to, no pun intended, will himself past his one fatal flaw. But the fatal flaw keeps showing up every time he seems to take the field. And that, I don't know what causes that. And I don't know how you overcome that. But I think it's so mental with him, more so than the physical.
I think the first thing in really competition is to convince yourself you can do that thing that you're trying to do. Because in order to step into that arena, you have to convince, I can do this. I've trained. I've did everything. I can do this. So once you get that in your head, everything else is like, okay, now you're just moving forward. He haven't convinced himself that he can do this at this level. At a sort of pace where he can be a starting quarterback. He says he can, but what he says and then what ends up happening, again, he does some good things. He has all the tools. But as a quarterback, you got to have that thing in between your ears, and it has to process like quickly. That's why people are on cam. He has to process a lot faster, or he has to slow it down, one of the two. Or when I mean slow it down, I mean to a pace where now he sees the game totally different and everything is in rhythm. But Will Levis hasn't proven that he can consistently do that on any level at the NFL at this point. And it seems like the more he tries to talk himself into it, the worse it gets on the field. Since he said what he said, I don't think there's been a day where somebody says Will had a great practice or anything. Instead of just letting it go, I'm only prepared for this season. Hey, I'm trying to win a backup job right now. That's what I got to worry about, making this team. But no, because the bravado in him has to convince himself that he can do it, he makes it bad. He throws it out there. Now it's like, dude, for whatever reason, he can't get right.
There's no way that he should be sad.
You ever seen the movie Life? The life of Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence? Anyone of y'all ever seen it? You need to watch it. It's about Martin.
Boomerang with those guys.
This is back in, I think it was like in the 50s, 40s.
They're prisoners.
They got put in jail.
I've seen part of that.
And there was one guy on there, Bokeem, who has passed away, who was an actor. They called him Can't Get Right because he just couldn't get it right. No matter what, he just couldn't get it right. And that's who Will Levis is. Can't get right.
One texter says, Scrub Daddy is happening. It's here to stay.
No.
615-737-1025.
Anybody want to trade for Will Levis after that glowing?
Trade for Scrub Daddy?
I mean, if
or
you're trading.
Or Can't Get Right?
If you're trading for Scrub Daddy, I mean, the line is going to be blowing up. 615-737-1025. Oh, boy. We will continue to take your reaction on the Titans' performance last night in San Francisco. A lot of reaction continuing to come in on Cam Ward. We will get back to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Connor Newt choosing Michael Jackson versus Prince, today's musical theme. I said it at the top of the show. As much as I enjoy Prince, it's no contest for me. It's Michael Jackson.
I'm not going to let the elevator break us down. You hear that? Let's go crazy, man.
This isn't a deep pull, but I couldn't resist. It's too good of a song.
Come on, that song's great, man.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Let's make Scrub Daddy a thing, by the way, for Will Levis. Who's with me? Scrub Daddy. Anybody?
I stand with you.
Okay. It may only last a few more weeks because he'll probably get dumped somewhere else.
Well, okay. But that's the prediction. Mm-hmm. Will he be on a team during the season?
Yes.
Yes.
A regular roster or a practice squad?
Regular roster.
Will they be able to trade Will Levis?
No.
You think they're just going to have to cut him?
Based on Because I'm not sure how much playing time he's going to get. Yeah, I'm moving forward. How much playing time is he going to get? You know?
Robert Saleh said he wants the starters to play more in both of the next two games
for
the preseason. So that's the priority. So I, you know, unless you don't play Trubisky at all, you know, there's still some time for Will Levis to at least make an impression that would have somebody saying, I'll take him. But I still think right now, realistically, it's much more of a, we're going to wait till they cut him, and then we'll see if we can piece him back together.
One texter says, hey, tell D-Mace, Bokeem Woodbine from the movie Life is Still Living, FYI. Is it?
Oh, my goodness. I hate, I get on people for doing it. I thought he passed away.
He's only 53.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said, my goodness. I should have checked that before I said that.
That's okay. We all make mistakes. Yes.
But I'm glad he's still alive.
I am, too. But he knew who I was talking about. You know, the movie. That's Will Levis.
Okay, hold on a minute. This text makes me laugh. Jason in Manchester. I didn't watch the game, but stop.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
I didn't watch the game, but if you're zero star recruit, top 10 2025 draft prospect who was reached for and drafted number one overall is just as inconsistent as the scrub he was supposed to replace, what's that make him? A waste of a number one or the opportunity to collect massive draft capital? I mean, we've got a lot of texts like that. One texter
said, Will Levis is in his fourth year? Okay,
yes.
Enough said.
One texter says, Warren Moon's turning over in his grave and he isn't even dead yet. One texter says, let's just be realistic. Cam is not going to be a bust. He is not going to be an elite quarterback. It's all about our expectations. If we recognize that we drafted a second-round quarterback with a first overall pick, then we can settle in and appreciate what Cam does and what he can't do. Another texter says, you guys are acting like yesterday's game was Cam's first ever NFL game. He had a complete season already. His quarterback instincts should be kicking in by now.
I think that is a fair point.
I don't think we've been acting like that, though. Have we?
I don't think
we're acting that. But I do think that is probably something that was what the bar was set at last night. Knowing we laid all this out yesterday on our show, but knowing who you were facing, it was a quote easy test. It's like the professor is going to throw out, hey, here's the first test of the semester. I'm not going to make it too challenging. If you know the basics, you're going to get a good grade on this test. And I think you assess that based on what you think your class knows, right? And so this was a second-year Cam Ward. He should be advanced enough to do well on that test. Mm-hmm. And so it was very disappointing that you can't give him good grades on that test based on who you were going against. So, you know, you always hear about grading on the curve. If you were going against a really tough defense, and that's, I think, where we were trying to grade Cam fairly last year. We documented. It's a fact. They played, 10 or so of the best defenses in the league last year. And so you had to grade on a curve and say, yeah, the numbers look awful, but look at the environment he was in. That was tough. Last night was not. And so I get that take that this isn't the first time he's rolled out there. There should be more expected based on that situation.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this. And again, Cam needs to get better. There's only going to be the clock is ticking. On him, especially, after a year of, what happened last year and the whole coaching, I think the clock is really ticking. I think people want to see results more than anything. They don't want to, even though, this process is going, every quarterback is different. Some never get it. Some get it right away. Some takes a couple of years and then they get it.
Some get it after they go to a different team.
Absolutely. But this organization, from a fan standpoint, isn't in a space where, we can wait. We need to wait. No, they need to see that huge leap. It took Trevor Lawrence a few years, but this isn't Jacksonville. They want the guy after last year and what he showed toward the latter part. They want to see him start from there and continue to progress. And it seems like in this game – he took a step back. I look at the whole organization, and I mentioned this to Willie. I said, I've seen a really bad organization, really bad one. Organization that no matter what they did, the players, and I shouldn't even say they were a bad organization, but it was an organization that seemed to be snake bitten because they had to be good. They went out and got Barry Sanders. They drafted Barry Sanders, and he was all world. They had some really good players on their team during that duration. From 85, you can go through, whether it was Daryl Rogers, Wayne Fonz, Bobby Ross, all these guys. But they never could win. Wayne Fonz, they just never. Wayne Fonz probably, he probably had more success than any one of those coaches prior to, obviously, Dan Campbell now. But for some reason, that organization was snake bitten. No matter who they brought in there, all pros, pro bowlers. Lomas Brown, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. Nobody talk about him because he was with the Detroit Lions and they were bad half the time, more times than not. I don't want this to be that organization. I don't want this to be that organization that no matter what they do, who they go get, it just seems to be snake bitten. Either they, don't re-sign him, they trade him away, or it just doesn't work. And they're not there, but I'm just thinking back like, man, I was in the city where it was no matter what we did, no matter what they did, we thought it was promising at the beginning of the season, especially when having Barry Sanders, and it never worked out.
Yeah, my perspective would have been the Buccaneers during that same thing. It just looked like no matter what they did, it was going to come out wrong. I hope they're not slipping into that here, but it's been a while since they've won. So you've lost a little bit. You're trying to regain that footing. Here's something you guys brought up, too, earlier. D-Mates brought this up. When we're, and this is hindsight's 2020, and I don't think this is the answer, but in the everybody's freaking out, if they had just done what a lot of teams do, you get a nice drive, you score on a 90-yard touchdown drive, get everybody out of there, feeling good. Should they have done that?
Hindsight's 2020. They should.
Hindsight's 2020. I kind of like that, you know, I'm going to throw this out as a serious question. What makes you better if they had done that and it's like, well, we looked awesome, man. That we just ran it right down their throat and we finished it off with a touchdown.
95
Boom.
Yards.
Job well done. We're out of here.
Hit the shower.
Nine plays.
We're ready.
No, it was
11. Ready.
11 plays, I believe.
Is that what you want to walk into the next day for these next few practices? Or are you better with the chip on your shoulder saying, dang it, we had a good start, but man, we screwed up after that. We got to get back to work. Like, what's better for a team with a first-year coach and a young quarterback?
Ooh, that's a tough one because, you know, you come out and you have a good drive. If you're just thinking about, well, I just want to leave a good taste in everybody's mouth. Yeah. I don't want nothing to happen, so I'm just going to take my guys out. Then, okay. But if you really want to see your team, okay, we had a good drive. Let's see if we – are we good enough right now to sustain another one? Well, they showed that they're not there yet. So I'm glad they, now looking at it, would I have wanted them to do that? If they had went that one drive yesterday and took the guys off the field, I'd be like, okay, you know, it is what, but they didn't. So now you saw the good and you saw the really bad. And now people don't remember the first drive.
Right.
They forgot about the first drive.
Everybody
has forgotten about the first drive. Why? Because the last thing they saw was just bad.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, as I said earlier, this is our preseason two. So we're going to test drive some topics throughout the preseason so that when week one rolls around, we are ready, just like the Titans looked after the first scoring drive last night. And this topic idea was inspired by the end of our show yesterday when people had very strong opinions about the movie Couples Retreat for some reason. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.